Welcome to the Doghouse and happy Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, I am the Frito Ben. Didn't they do anything for Cinco de Mayo at work?
Dude, I don't know. I didn't work today.
Oh, you didn't work. Okay. Well, no, I mean, there you go. You celebrated in your own way.
I guess I did. Yes. I had a pre-op doctor's appointment for my surgeon.
Oh, for your ear. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Right. All right. Well. Yeah, it's Cinco de Mayo, so we're all supposed to be eating burritos and tacos. What?
Isn't it Cinco de Cuatro? I remember the smartest man ever told us that, right?
Cinco de Cuatro. Five of four.
We celebrate Cinco de Cuatro.
5-0 of 4. That's a holiday.
And we celebrated that in all 47 states.
Anyways. Yeah, anyway, so we had World Superbike this weekend, Yawner.
Yeah.
And I think Bullock is getting better. And besides that, we had Supercross almost drawn to the end. I think it was the penultimate round.
It might be the penultimate round of World Superbike.
And pretty much, even though he got on the podium, Eli Tomac has pretty much sealed his fate now. I think he's mathematically out of it.
Yeah.
So it's cool. And so it comes down to, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Roczen and Hunter, although Hunter picked a real good time to beat, even though he won first and Roczen still got second, that was devastating to Roczen because now if he wins or gets second place, I think he cinches it, Hunter.
I was going to find somebody that could send it in bed pee and be like, they're both using performance-enhancing drugs. Here, I found this in Philadelphia. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, though.
The Republicans?
No. Well, I guess that's the elephant. Yes. Range Rover in the room, something like right, that. Range. Land Rover. So for the listeners, because this is kind of cool news, for the listeners, I live in the town and work for the town that the King and Queen of England came to in Virginia.
The obvious question is, did they come there specifically to visit you?
I mean, obviously, Ken. I mean, you had the chance to meet me. You took it. Why wouldn't they? Right?
Well, I mean, you know, me and the King of England are like, you know, that, you know, we're like peas in a pod.
That's you way over here. That's why we didn't do a show last week. I was busy working mucho hours. My paycheck's going to be pretty nice this week.
Which is the appropriate term on Cinco de Mayo, mucho hours.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, mucho hours. I don't know how to say
it. Mucho horas.
But it was a lot of fun. Interesting. I did not meet the King and Queen. I couldn't be bothered. I'm an American. I don't believe in that stuff.
Did you get to see him other than the limo?
I mean they rode bypass my location twice.
Yeah, I saw that, right? Yeah. You posted that up on Facebook.
Yeah, I didn't bother. By then it was like, you know, you weren't getting in anywhere near there where they were after I did my job.
Okay.
And that's fine. I don't need to be there. You know, it's bad enough. He had to get out and shake hands. What if they made me do it too? I was like, no, just, I don't want to, you know, there were out of towners. There was all this stuff. And it's like, you know, let him take the light work.
I got nothing against King Charles because he's just a figurehead, you know, so he's not.
Oh, me neither. Me neither. Yeah. Actually, from what I understand, they were actually very pleasant to the locals that
they seem like very pleasant people. Yeah. I think that's the reason we beat them. Right, because we weren't
savage enough.
We're the ugly Americans.
Right on.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool. I guess he shook hands with my hometown here is also the Virginia State Little League Baseball champs.
That's right.
So he shook hands with them, and that was kind of cool. But our queen, Governor Spanberger, showed up to try to rain on.
Oh God, that's a buzzkill right there.
I was like, meh, you know.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping some of the. So here's the one thing I learned. Right, this is what I learned. That you could get a big turnout to a No Kings rally unless there's an actual king there. Then everybody that was against Kings was pro King.
So there was not a lot of people that came out to see the King come through the town?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. The line to get in the place was like 6 hours long. Five wide okay. for 6 hours of people.
Were they lining the streets?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They lined the whole. You've been on my hometown. My hometown.
Yeah, yeah. Been there many times.
From end to end, from the fence along the curb, you know, like in the roadway along the curb to the buildings.
Yeah.
And then some. They were actually, they were getting ready to say no more people and realized there was only like 100 more to stick in.
I imagine a lot of people drove into Front Royal that would otherwise not ever come out there, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So here's the most Front Royal thing of all of it. When the British Embassy originally reached out to us, we deleted the email thinking it was some kind of scam. Mass America. British Embassy wants the King and Queen to
generally come. It's when you get an email that says that your uncle, your great, you know, three times removed uncle, King Charles, has got he found $15 billion that he wants to hand deliver to you.
It was like we were like, yeah. Which is
I mean, I can understand that. I would have thought it was a prank too, just given that. Why
apparently
in God's name?
Call and why come out and like show that
why legit. Why Front Royal? And then he got on Skyline Drive.
I live here.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Well, you know,
I almost forgot that.
I'm gonna say this. Right?
And you were and did you tell him? See, that's why you should have met him. You should have told him you were named after his father.
Daddy.
I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. That's what you should
have
said.
I think that would have went over well, Dan. But
no, anyway. His father was Prince Philip.
I wasn't named after Prince Philip.
Just play with me here, okay?
Right, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to guess. I know
are you saying you wouldn't lie to the King of England?
No. Well, I mean, I might. Okay. I might be like, hey, King, what's up? Like,
of course.
I don't have any, you know, I mean, it's a king.
Say I was named after your father. Please knight me.
I would say, one, that the people from the embassy said they had visited the town and found it quite charming. So I guess they drink a lot.
And they probably didn't spend much time there either.
Yeah, they were like in and out, and they're like, oh, I think the main reason is because all the towns around here close to Skyline Drive, we're the only one whose main street isn't a big thoroughfare.
So right.
Close it down for a day.
Yeah, that would be true.
No, but you know, I'm not saying businesses didn't care, but it wasn't like we were jamming up traffic all up and down the west side of Virginia.
Yeah.
So that would be my assume. And we were close to Skyline Drive where he was going anyways.
You're right there at the entrance to Skyline Drive. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Skyline Drive. Yeah. So if you're on your bike and you're going for a ride and you head out and you're like going to Skyline Drive, you can like swing by and buy me dinner.
There you go. I mean, I think that's a really cool thing.
It was,
but it will be forgotten in 2 weeks, right?
Oh, are you kidding me? There are people. Oh, I'll tell you what. Some of the AI photoshops of them in business around town. There's a little dive bar called the Naughty Pine. I mean, Naughty Pine. We call it the Naughty Pine. And they had this thing. They were like, they had a like photoshop picture of King Charles in there, and they're like, there's this guy. Kept telling us how he's royalty, and we were like, but everybody's royalty here in Front Royal. And he called us cheeky fellows and wanted a cold pint. You know, it was kind of, some of the AI things have been kind of funny.
Okay. Well, I mean, have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm sure that nobody else of any is going to ever go to Front Royal.
Yeah, no one else is coming.
That's right. Yeah,
We have been.
It's like there's a town. There's a town in Southern Virginia, and I think it's Crozet, Virginia, where their claim to fame is that's where they built Noah's Ark for the movie God Almighty.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I've heard of Crozet, but I didn't know they had a claim to fame.
That's what it was. They built the Noah's Ark for the movie God Almighty, or Bruce Almighty, or whatever.
Bruce,
I don't remember.
Bruce Almighty.
What was the first one? Was the first one Bruce Almighty?
Yeah, the first one was Bruce Almighty. The second was somebody else.
Yeah, okay.
I just figured I'd bring that up. I thought that was kind of fun. I know
it's not motorcycle related. I mean, it's cool that, you know, it's not like any place that I've ever been that Prince Charles particularly picked out to go.
King Charles.
Yeah, King Charles. What did I say? Prince Charles?
Prince Charles.
Well, you know, his mother's not really dead. You know that, right?
I'm not quite yet dead. I don't know. There was this guy going, bring out your dad.
No. Yeah, bring out your dad.
I was expecting people on horses and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. She said, oh, it's just a flesh wound.
It's a scratch.
It's just a scratch.
I was going to be like, I unclogged my nose at you. Yeah. That'd be wrong.
You could have definitely said, I farted in your general direction.
Right? Your mother smells of elderberry. That's right. There are so many good things that I wasn't able to say.
Well, that's cool. I think that's cool. Yeah. I mean, you know, for Front Royal, that's more than cool.
Yeah.
For Front Royal, that's unheard of.
That's unheard right? of. Yeah. That is like, you might as well pack the whole town up.
Yeah. I mean, has anybody else of note been to Front Royal?
Bing Crosby.
Oh yeah, because that's right, because they have the baseball field out there is named after him, right?
Bing Crosby, me.
Yeah, okay.
The doghouse,
and I've been out there as well.
All three members of the doghouse. I got
that is true. That is true. So all right, well, cool. And you got a lot of overtime out of it.
I did get a fair amount, like 17 and a half hours, something.
That's a lot of overtime.
That's a pretty good overtime haul. I'll take it. I'm not gonna.
Yep.
Not gonna be all right,
cool.
All right. So we're talking World Superbike. Let's talk that first before.
Yeah, we can. I mean, there's not much to talk about. I mean,
I saw something that aggravated the ever loving poop out.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
Alex Lowe's crashed. Mm-hmm. Got up, threw his hands up in the air, like he wasn't expecting that, and he's aggravated. But you crash every effing race. I just sat there and I was like, there goes a Lowe's sliding across the ground. He's like, I don't know. And he's like shaking his fist like he's mad.
Well, maybe the reason he was upset is usually when he crashes
earlier,
there's nobody near him. So when he found somebody near him, he had a reason to throw his arms up and complain.
How did he there not was know somebody he was on the same corner.
What?
How did he not know he was going to crash? His name's
I think
Alex
he expected
Lowe's.
It, but he usually expects it to do it when there's not anybody close by. So
maybe I don't know. It was like
I mean, you got to feel bad for the guy. He's riding a bike that doesn't even have the name of the manufacturer on it.
Well, they can't even get the paint to dry. He wrecks it so quick. Put a sticker on it. Oh, it's sliding across the thing.
I don't know why that's called Bimota by Kawasaki. It's just a Kawasaki. Just a Kawasaki. Anyway.
I don't know.
But it didn't help him any. Garrett Gerloff looked okay this weekend, better than he has in a little while.
Faster, maybe?
Yeah, I think he's getting weller. I think he's getting healthier.
I hope so.
Yeah, he's getting healthier. And other than that, all the talk pre-race was how good Lekuona had looked, you know, and was he going to break the streak of Bulaga? And it's like, no, not even close.
Even in the sprint race where Bulaga had a bad start.
Yeah.
They red flagged it and it wasn't a bad start no more.
Yeah. Well, the good thing it was before they completed one lap. So he went right back to the pole position. Yeah. So that worked out well for him. And the second time around, he learned his lesson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's just like so dominant right now. And now you got to start thinking because their season is almost half over, right? You got to start thinking, has he got any chance of, you know, going over, you know?
He could just like go there and like ride a scooter around. And I think he can still clinch.
I think so. But numerically, he's what, up 77 points, I believe now?
God. I can't count that.
So line. I think he's up 77 points, and we're
And this was round
four, right?
Yeah, four.
Yeah.
So they got eight more.
The rounds. Third of the way through the season.
No.
So, but I mean, this was supposed to be a bad track for him. I wasn't even aware of that. That it was not a good track for him. It didn't look like he had any issues with that track at all. So,
yeah, that was terrible.
But he's like dominating World Superbike, which I guess shouldn't be surprising, right? Because the only person that gave any challenge at all to Ratzgadioglu last year was Buliga. Nobody else did. So you pull Ratzgadioglu out of it, and then you get expected that Buliga was going to dominate. We did mention in the opening that we had this, we had the penultimate round of Supercross. Of course, our 250s are both decided.
We
don't have anything to talk about there other than, you know, Deegan just dominated. But this was, I think this is going to be his last race in the 250s coming up.
Yeah.
Cause and then he's done, then he's off
the motocross.
And then in Supercross next season.
I mean, but he's moving up for motocross and then he's going to stay up.
Yeah. So that is actually, I'm looking forward to that. Because the competition is very different in the 450. So will that make a difference? I don't know. Can't say. Don't say. He's very hard to pass because his head's so big. But
I mean, that is true.
It is true. Yeah. So I don't know how that's going to work out. We don't really know. I have no evidence to back this opinion, but I think Jett's injury was much more serious than they let on.
I think the evidence,
and they probably kept it quiet for sponsor. And I think they kept it quiet for sponsorship reasons.
I think because what was that, a month and a half ago, we were talking about them trying to get him back.
Yeah, Honda was trying to get him to come back, right? Yeah. Honda was trying to get him to come back when we were talking about, well, you know, he better come back in the next week or two because he'll be out of the points range.
Yeah, but
as it turned out, it wouldn't have been nearly as bad because there was such a mix of winners. I think Hunter, that was only his fourth win, I think, of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nobody was actually running away with it at all. They were, you know, just passing points around between them. But I think his injury is just more serious than they let on. And, you know, the Honda, you know, we want you to come back might have just been a misdirection, right? They're just propping up the story and hiding the fact from the sponsors that he was more injured. But he's been eerily quiet. Which makes me wonder, is he going to be ready for the outdoor season?
I don't know. It's
not far away. So
yeah, it's like 3 weeks now, something like that. 2 weeks.
Yeah, something like that. And so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. You know, or he's been sandbagging just, you know, after a certain point in the season said, I'm just going to take it easy. But we'll know. We'll know soon enough.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to come in with some ring rust.
It wouldn't be if you felt like you're going to have strong competition and presuming that your brother wins Supercross. That's got to be a major confidence boost for Hunter, who's been used to chasing his brother all day, right? So we'll see. And if Jet's not 100% healthy, Hunter's capable of beating him for sure. So don't know what's going to happen there. Deegan's the wild card. I don't know what he's going to do, but if he tries to race the way he ran in the 250s, he may have more trouble because there's some bruisers in the 450s, you know.
Yeah, who aren't. We say that all the time. We said that about Fernandez. We've said
it's kind of true. It's kind of true though. If you look at the field in general, there's some guys out there who are not going to win a championship, but they can do well on a given week, and they're very difficult to pass.
I'm not seeing that, but every time we have somebody move up, we're like, oh, it's going to be a different thing, and then they move up and they're still winners.
Oh, that is true. That is true. You never know how someone's going to do. We also have people that come up and then they do nothing.
They do nothing.
Yeah. Right? So,
but I don't know. I think I hate saying this because I feel like I'm putting pressure on him, even though. Sure, he's putting his own pressure. I think it's his destiny to run in the top three.
I think nobody's putting on more pressure on him than his father. Guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. Yeah. So I'm sure his father is the kind of person that says if he's down after a race, you know, calls him a pussy, right?
Yeah.
So that's just the way his father is. In that family, definitely true.
But
but other than that, is there anybody that's going to be moving up from the 250s east from the east?
Here's the thing is I don't actually know.
There hasn't been much silly season talk. The only thing that was been talked at all was about Deegan moving up. So
Yeah.
I don't know, but Deegan moving up was, you know, they didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to guess there's some names we might hear, but I don't know if they're going to move up. Maybe Hammaker, Thrasher, Shimoda, Pierce Brown, you know.
There's definite people. Right? I mean, you get the East winner, right?
Yeah.
You got Cole Davies.
Well,
but
I don't think
no
he's
talk.
Moving up because he's Yamaha. And
yeah,
they're going to have too many bikes to begin with.
Mm-hmm. We should also mention that, you know, we had talked about Cooper Webb, but Cooper Webb, he didn't do terrible, but he did not do what he needed to do.
No.
To maintain it. I mean, he did okay. I think he finished in fifth. Yeah. Tomac gets on the podium, but that was it. He's done.
Yeah, that's unimportant.
It's done. So
last week, it didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter. So
in the West, maybe Kitchen, maybe DeFrancesco.
I don't think so, because they've been talking about that for a number of years. And to be honest with you, I think Kitchen, some of his best years are behind him already.
Yeah, I think, you know, and like McAdoo, I think McAdoo's getting along in the tooth. I don't know.
The thing about it is, if you're in the 250s, you know, and you're probably beyond the age of 25, you're never going to go to the 450s. It just isn't not likely to happen.
Yeah.
They love getting the younger guys up, yeah. Right? That's where the money is.
The bigger thing I see is maybe Cooper Webb retires, maybe Tomac retires. So that opens up to.
Well, I would say that the chances of Cooper Webb retiring are probably pretty high. I don't know about Tomac. I would have thought the same thing about Tomac before this season. He doesn't seem to be making any noise about retiring. I think he's the money's too good, right?
Pretty soon Christian Craig just got to age out.
Christian Craig will age off the planet. That's what he will do. The question is, who goes first, him or me?
You know, but I don't see a ton of like great seats leaving.
No.
And I think you're gonna have a little bit of a bottleneck. Now, there are guys that are close, guys like Malcolm, guys like Barsha, guys like
Barsha can't. He's never 32. Healthy, and he's not healthy 32. Anymore.
Yeah, Justin Hill. You know, Makarov isn't young anymore.
And then there's Justin Cooper, which he'll smack your wife
Cooper's
if you don't
young.
Move him up.
You know, Cooper's still young, but Anderson's getting old. Jason Anderson's getting
old.
Yeah,
but Cooper's never going to get the call up because he's bad PR.
Justin Cooper?
Yeah, Justin Cooper.
I don't know. He's been running pretty good.
No, but he's bad PR because of all this noise from here in Florida about him beating his wife up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That might be an open seat for somebody.
It could be. Actually, maybe that's the stuff we ought to be focusing on is the people that are likely to lose their rides this season, because that's what makes the seats available. That's how someone like the Levi Kitchen can maybe get a seat.
Right, or McAdoo or somebody like that. I don't think you'll see Cole Davies move up. I will tell you that right now.
I don't think you will either because he was just a conversation piece prior to this season.
Yeah.
If he repeats next season, I think he'll get called up. Yeah.
But you know, like I look at who's there, and I think, man, Cooper Webb's got a lot of injuries. Tomac's 1,000 years old. Yeah. Justin Cooper might lose it because he does throws haymakers.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, second.
There's a lot of people in the 450s that I would say ought to be thinking about their post-racing careers, because
Sexton might be one of them too.
I think Sexton would definitely be on that list.
He is definitely falling out of public eye.
Yes. Yeah. If they're not talking about you, then that basically means you're sinking.
Yeah.
So,
and Ferrando,
I think there's more. I think there's the possibility of up to 8 seats being available. But will that happen? I don't know. I don't know if that will happen or not, because the problem is some of these teams can't afford, you know, a marquee rider. They just can't afford it, right?
Because Yamaha can pay their 250 guys more than some other team can pay their 450 guys.
Right.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
May be the limiting factor.
That might be a good show in a couple weeks or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Final round. I think Cole Davies, that's going to be his last shot at beating Deegan, and I think he needs to do that. I really do think he needs to do that, but I think the chances are slim that he would.
Unless Deegan doesn't take it serious and he's rusting up, but
I would have thought that this weekend. I'll be honest with you. I expected that from him. I expected that he would push.
I think Deegan wants to go out a winner and on a hot streak going into 450.
Yes, I agree.
And I think that's bad for everybody in these.
I agree. But, you know, again, when you know, if you create pressure for yourself when you don't have to, that's also an opportunity for somebody else.
It's true.
Right, because you make mistakes. I mean, Deegan's not perfect. He's just faster than everybody else. But faster just means you can wreck quicker, too.
Yeah, that's true. First one to the wreck.
That's right, first one to the wreck. So we'll see what happens. We got MotoGP coming up this weekend.
In France, Le Mans.
Not sure what to make of. Yeah, I think Le Mans. Are they at Le Mans?
Le Mans or Magny Cours? Where do they run MotoGP?
I don't remember.
I thought they run it at Le Mans.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell to make of that series right now, to be honest with you. I mean, it's very odd based on how Alex did the last outing, which we didn't really get to talk about. He looked very dominant. His brother threw it away, completely threw it away.
Le Mans.
So I don't know what to make of that. There's nobody out there other than Bezzecchi that's shown any consistency whatsoever. But Ducati seemed like Ducati figured something out this last go round, because the Ducatis did very, very well. Yeah. So maybe the advantage that Aprilia had end of last season into early in this season, maybe Ducati's figured it out. So we'll see. And we should mention also that, you know, this was the first race where, I think it was the first, it might have been the second, where the Ducatis were penalized in World Superbike.
I did notice that. Yeah.
And they didn't, and the Ducati finished 1, 2, 3. It didn't seem like that affected it at all. But the other one that got penalized was Bimota. So go figure that out. I couldn't quite figure out why would you penalize Bimota? They're not doing it. Obviously, they're a threat. Yeah, obviously. A threat to, debris on the track, maybe.
I don't know.
So I don't know about that. But now I have no, I mean, we all kind of predicted that we didn't, you know, somebody has to prove that they can beat Marc Marquez. And Marc Marquez, we're now going into the fifth, I think, MotoGP venue. Fifth or sixth, yeah. And he hasn't shown any consistency whatsoever. So he's deep into the, you know, out of the points right now. So out of the front. So, I mean, Bezzecchi still's got that points advantage, although Bezzecchi throws away a lot of sprint points by wrecking. So who knows? Who knows? But we got that coming up this weekend, and then we're going to finish off Supercross.
Yep.
So.
Yay, everything.
That's it. Yeah. Hooray.
Hooray.
Hooray. Who cares?
Oh. Yeah.
And we misplaced Warren again, so that's why you didn't hear his voice.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, right. We might have just muted his mic and he was actually here, but we're not going to tell the truth.
All right, well, we'll be back next week.
Potentially.
Yeah, hopefully.
Unless more royalty shows up in Front Royal.
I mean, it could happen.
It could happen.